Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this new, very special episode of Trini Trent Radio, hosted by me, your boy, Trini Trent. And I'm just very grateful for all of you who are listening to the show right now. I know it's available all across the web, such as TriniTrent.com, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio. It's just amazing that people go on these various platforms and they are subscribing and they are sharing the episodes. People have been leaving comments and reviews and rating the show on iTunes, which is so amazing. And people have been commenting feverishly on SoundCloud.com and sharing the links on the TriniTrent.com website. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so thankful that so many of you are connecting to the message. And I see all of your messages that you send me on my various social media. That's Trini Trent on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Periscope. Of course, you have my Facebook fan page, my personal fan page, Tumblr. And of course, people have been sending me long, great, amazing emails at TriniTrentTV@gmail.com, which is also my PayPal donation email. For those of you who have been making little comments about the microphone and talking about the slight hiss, which I'm very much aware of because of the heat, I don't know what has gone wrong with the mic. I'm open to all donations. Don't just complain, actually donate so we could make a change. If you send it to PayPal, that's TriniTrentTV@gmail.com. But this week's episode is very different from the previous episodes. Instead of relying on notes or points or a story arc, basically to guide me through, like, you know, a script to guide me through this podcast, I'm going to speak from my heart. I'm going to speak from the top of my head. I'm just going to let it flow because it's very personal. It's a story that many young men, especially young black men, we do not talk about trauma. We do not talk about the problems that have faced us in the past. And as a result, we walk around carrying all of this weight, all of this anger, all of this fear, because anger is fear, all of this sadness, which is fear, walking around with all of this unresolved pain and not addressing it, not moving forward from it. And it affects our relationships. It affects our lives. It affects every single part of who we are as human beings, and it prevents us from giving fully to others. It prevents us from being open, from being loving, from being caring, and from being the light that we are supposed to be in the world. So because of a recent event, I've decided that I myself have an issue that I need to overcome. And I realize that there are many people who may be dealing with this similar problem. So I decided, instead of just keeping it to myself, I'm going to let my guard down and share it here on Trini Trent Radio. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the gym and I came across a guy who I went to secondary school with. Secondary school, as we say here in the Caribbean, is what Americans would call high school. And I went to secondary school with this guy and he was never really mean to me. He was cool. And I saw him, but for a brief second before we greeted each other and just said hi, I felt a little tremor. I felt fear. And I said, why am I afraid? And I realized after meditation and it being at the back of my mind for a few days, I realized that I have some unresolved issues with my time at secondary school. Now, for those of you who listen to the Growing Up Gay podcast, which is an episode that Terry and I did together last year, you would have remembered some of my stories about me being bullied at secondary school, because we spoke about how many men, young boys, as they're developing into men, especially in those adolescent years, those formative years, we have to deal with homophobia, not just gay men, but those who are suspected of being gay. And of course, those who are not even suspected, but because they don't want to be suspected, they carry around and this mask of masculinity. They portray this masculine performance and they engage in many hyper-masculine activities and hypersexual activities even, so that people will not cast that doubt on them. They try to avoid every sign and signal of homosexuality or what can be considered feminine behavior. But I have to go a little deeper. And I decided that after having a conversation with one of my friends, big up Brandon, and sharing some of my stories, I realized that those are stories that could actually help other people. Because I don't think that many of us want to face what we've been through or what we have done to others in the past. Now, if you hear me pausing or taking a break or sounding a little choked up, it's because these are things that really affected me. These are things that really bothered me. when I was younger, to the point that I was literally terrified to go to school. Now, for the sake of no drama, I'm not going to name the school that I went to. Some of you who know me know the school, but I would just leave it open to interpretation. Now, here in Trinidad and Tobago, many of us are very much committed and tied to our secondary schools. The way that I see so many Americans love their colleges and they are proud to say they're an alumni of a certain school, or they hold on to their fraternity or sorority brothers and sisters, and they hold on to that identity because it's part of who they are and it was part of shaping their lives. The real core of the Trinidadian experience really goes back to, what secondary school did you go to? My grandmother always used to say, your school days are your best days. And she went on and on and talked about how much people who go to secondary school, especially, those are the best days of your life, because that's when you make your lifelong friends. And many people hold true to that, because what we see is that many people, for decades after they've left school, they refer to themselves as an ex-old boy. Let me name some of the schools for those of you who don't know the schools here. We have, for the boys, you have Fatima, you have QRC, you have St. Mary's College, you have St. Anthony's. And then, of course, for the girls, you have Bishops, St. Joseph Convent, Holy Name Convent, St. Francois. You know, there are many, 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 many schools, way more than I can possibly list here. But for many people, long after they've left the school, they boast about, you know, I'm a QRC old boy, or I'm a Bishop's old girl. I don't know if they say old girl, but I know the boys. They say I'm a QRC old boy, and they're so proud of it. But what happens is that for many of us who had very terrible experiences at secondary school, we have problems really identifying with that time in our lives. Because for us, those school days were not the best days. Those school days were some of our worst days. Those days are days that we would like to forget. Those are the times that we would like to completely block out of memory, because it was so painful and traumatic. And it really continuously comes up as an issue for me when people ask me, like I go for a job interview, or I'm just hanging out with friends or new people, and they say, what secondary school did you go to? And they define everything about who you are based on that. So if you say, I went to Fatima, they say, yes, you have a Fatima way of walking. Yes, talk like a Fatima boy. This is amazing, because no matter what college you went to, you could have a master's degree, a PhD, you could have traveled the world, they still think that everything about who you are is based on that secondary school. The same way how some people define who you are based on your zodiac sign, they act as though your secondary school defines you. But for me, it's been very interesting, because every time I tell somebody the secondary school that I went to, they're always very surprised. They always say, you don't act like a so-and-so boy. You act more like you went to this school. You act more like you went to St. Mary's, or you act more like a Fatima fella or a St. Anthony's fella. You don't act like you went to that school. Because they could never understand why my behavior it seems a bit different than the regular guy who went to that school, because they have the stereotype in their mind. And as I always explain to them, is that I am not an old boy of that school. I just happened to go there for 7 years. And when they ask me why I say that, I always very honestly and truthfully tell them, because my time there was so terrible that I do not identify with that institution. I love some of the friends that I've made there, or people who I've met who went there and we've become friends now. But during my time at that school, those were 7 of the worst years. This is where I would start sharing some stories. I remembered while I was at school, many of the boys around me, around Form 2, this is when many of us were like 13 years old, 12, 13, they started blossoming. So, you know, their voices started changing. Some of them started getting growth spurts. You know, the little bit of facial hair started to come in, and they started to show an interest in girls. They started to get more, or at least pretended to have a very strong interest in girls, because they felt like this was the time that they're supposed to step up to the plate. And as years passed, that behavior got more and more intense. And you know, when you go to an all-boys school like I went to, where they were only boys, it was a hyper-masculine activity. All the boys were constantly trying to outdo each other and show who was the most mannish. So every time a teacher with a big behind pass, there was one particular teacher, every time she passed, all the boys would rush to the window to see. rush to the door and pretend as if, you know, oh my gosh, look at her backside. The world is going to end if I don't get to see her backside. It was amazing the behaviors that they would show. Meanwhile, when everybody was rushing to the balcony to look out and see this woman passing by, I was sitting in my chair because I didn't understand this. I grew up with women. I grew up around women. There were women all around me. I didn't understand why was everybody behaving so crazy to see this one particular woman's backside. What made it so different other than the fact that it was okay, it was a bit bigger than the regular. But why did everybody literally have to fight each other to see this behind? And I was very perplexed by the different behaviors that I saw. I don't know if it was because of the way I was socialized and the fact that I never really felt the need to force my way to fit in by behaving like everyone else. But everybody started wearing these gold chains when they weren't supposed to, getting into fights and who was ducking class and, you know, the hyper-masculine activities, the back-chatting with the teacher or flirting very openly with the teachers. And I never really fit into that. And I always was taught from a young age, be honest. If somebody asks you a question, you respectfully respond. You say good morning, good evening. You get to class a certain time. You know, little things. And I was never taught to break the rules. And I never saw the need to do so. I just never really got into that groove. And it's because it just seemed so odd to me. But breaking the rules as a teenager, especially as a teenage boy, that's part of the homosocial activity. That's part of you acting out. That acting out is actually you developing a sense of masculinity and you're bonding with your fellow boys through breaking the rules. So when everybody would duck class and go and hang out under the covered walkway or go over to the pavilion and pretend that they have PE and they would do things literally to go against the norm, I was prompt and I was front and center in class. And I had my textbooks and I had my books open and I was ready to learn. And what compounded it was that I was doing things that were completely anti the regular behavior. So when all the guys were learning the latest Buju Banton lyrics and they knew everything that Mr. Vegas was doing and they were following Beanie Man and they were cussing in class, and I was listening to Mariah Carey, Destiny's Child, Toni Braxton. I was in a whole different world. I was still singing Spice Girls, and this was in the early 2000s, and they had long broken up, but I was still singing Spice Girls. And it really made me stand out as odd. It really made me stand out as what many people would call queer, because I was not part of the norm. And the bullying, it actually started in my first year, but it really intensified in my second year. And I remembered I became a very unfortunate target for some of the bigger guys. They love to pick on me because they considered me soft. The music I listened to, the fact that I didn't really like sports, the fact that I was more into being creative, the fact that I always was in class, I never wanted to break the rules. And then the fact that when everybody physically started changing, I did not change at the same time. So when everybody's voice started dropping, my voice stayed high. When everybody started growing facial hair, I didn't get any. I just didn't really fit in. I was in a different lane. I was literally just moving at my own pace and content with that. But the bullying got so severe. In my second year, when I was in Form 2, it became a very regular practice for guys to find new ways to torment me. My water bottles would go missing. I would bring little bottles of water from home to drink during the day, because my mother always used to complain I'm not drinking enough water. And I would come to my bag every day around recess and my bottle of water would be missing. And what the guys were doing was that they would take the water bottles out, empty them, and then crush them and then put them in the desk. So every day I would open my desk and there would be my water bottle. And they thought that was fun because their form of homosocial activity, their bonding, was done while bullying me. So their way of going against the norm and breaking the rules was, let's break the rules and act out by picking on someone. Bullies don't always operate on their own. You won't really realize that many bullies operate as a group because that's how they bond. So often when I hear people share stories from secondary school and I really pay attention to what the guys say, it's either they bonded through sports or they bonded over stories of bullying someone. They always, you remember so and so boy? Yeah, he was a real muckset. Remember when we used to pick him up and fling him in the bush? Ha, ha, ha. And I would hear these stories and think to myself, do they not hear that they were picking on somebody? They were laughing and giggling about throwing someone in the bushes. It's fun to remember how they pushed someone down a flight of stairs. And that's fun. That's how they became brothers. And I went through that. I remembered one day I had class. It was recess. And I had a class after recess. So I left my bag at the desk and I went to use the boys' room. When I came back, my bag had gone missing. I could not find my bag at all. So the bell rang. Teacher came. Time to start class. I'm sitting at my desk. Now part of me is fighting back tears because I had no idea where my bag was. I had 4 expensive textbooks. This was the start of the school term in September. And I had no idea where my bag had gone. So the teacher's like, okay, Trent, we have class. Where's your books? And I had to tell her I couldn't find my bags. So she said, does anybody know where Trent's bag is? Nobody knew. Everybody was just giggling. One person raised his hand and said, they put his bag in the dustbin. And it's like, oh, gum, how you go tell she boy? Ha, 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 ha. So then she said, well, Trent, you had to go and find your books. What they had done was taken each of my textbooks, each of my copybooks, my pencil case, everything. And they put each item in a different bin across the building. And then they took my bag, brand new school bag. Remember JanSport? Brand new expensive JanSport school bag. And they put that in the bin in the pavilion across the field. I had to walk over there in the sun when everybody was watching and laughing to get my bag. They had put it in the bin and they flipped it upside down. So all of the garbage and all of the juices, and this was on a Monday. So all of the mess that had come from over the weekend and from the week before, the cleaners had not cleaned up, was on my brand new school bag. So not only were my books covered in soil and stuff from the bin, but so was my school bag. What was amazing was that when you told the teachers these things, they didn't really act the way that I would assume. And I remembered my mother used to get so frustrated and she used to come into the school and say, but what is going on here that these children are picking on my son? And many of the teachers' responses, there was one particular guy who always said that he has to toughen up. You know, this is part of being a young man. He has to learn to defend himself. And I found this was so amazing that you are telling a parent in front of the child who is being bullied and picked on by a group of guys who are all larger than him, that he has to toughen up. So you are telling me, a young 13-year-old boy who was about 5'4" at the time, a little chubby, you expect me to fight guys, some of whom were 2 years older than me, they have been kept back so they were in my class. You expect me to fight a group of 14-year-old guys, some of whom looked as if they were 19 because they were so built, because they played all these different sports. And you expect me to fight them? It was like being out of my own body and watching a movie. I couldn't believe this was my life. And I remember this went on for years. I had been pushed down a flight of stairs once. I had been beaten outside of the school property. A group of guys, they beat me outside of school. Jump kicked me, beat me, and the parents who came to pick up their children did absolutely nothing. Nothing. And I had to go through these types of things for years, being picked on. Because I was different. Not because I had said something to someone. Not because I had done something to someone. Not because I was mean to someone. Not because I had gone out of my way to be malicious to someone. No. I was being picked on just for being me. I had become a master of avoiding bullies, by the way. I used to eat my lunch near to the principal's office, the main office. I sat very close to there. In a visible driveway where everybody can see me. I remember that recess time, I used to time when I would go to the bathrooms. So at lunchtime, I did not go to the boys' room until the exact moment before the second bell, before the end of lunch. Because I knew if I went earlier, I would have to walk under a covered walkway where many of my bullies hung out. I knew if I went to another one, I would end up in the main building, which used to make me very nervous because I didn't know the layout of the classrooms and who was there at the time when I was younger. So I knew if I went just before the second bell, as in the final bell at lunch, most of the guys would already have been on their way back to class. So I would literally hold my pee for the entire lunchtime. No matter how bad I had to go, I held it. because I knew what would happen if I was caught off guard. As I remember once, this is what I learned about sitting at the back of Maxi. To this day, I still don't typically sit there. I was on a Maxi. These other guys from school were sitting at the back of the Maxi. I was one row in front of them. And when I was walking out of the Maxi, I didn't even know these guys. I didn't say a word to them. They were in another class. When I was walking out, one of them ran up behind me, kicked me in my back, and I fell down in the middle of the Maxi. And he ran back to his seat so quickly, I didn't even know who hit me. But I knew it was one of them because they were laughing. And I fell down and I was so embarrassed on this crowded Maxi full of regular people. And I left with a big shoe print. When I got home, there was a big shoe print at the back of my shirt. And that stuck with me. The idea that I cannot trust groups of men because I don't know who is going to be the one to start the bullying. It's amazing how that continues into your life. To the point that I'm an adult now. I'm probably about 40, 50 pounds bigger than I was when I was in secondary school. And by bigger, I mean muscle. I lift weights. I'm very well built. You know, I work very hard. And I've been to other countries and I've had all of these experiences. Yet every time I remember those days or I'm in the presence of people who I went to school with, it's as if I'm taken back into the shoes of that boy and has to deal with all of that trauma. And meditation and my yoga practices and all of the prayer has really brought it to the surface and I'm finally dealing with it. But it's something that I had to share with you all because people need to understand secondary school wasn't great for all of us. And I'm not even sharing all of my stories. I have some stories. If I share them here on air, they would shock some people. I'll share one more story. I remember when school got lockers and in my first term of us having these lockers, somebody took, I don't know what they took, probably a key. And they scratched the word fag into my locker, into the front of my locker. And I told the teacher who told me I had to tell the dean. I told the dean, nothing was done about it. So for weeks, the word fag was on my locker. They drew penises. They said the nastiest things. They wrote all of these things on my locker. Nothing was being done. So out of frustration, I took a can of spray paint from home. And I spray painted the front of my locker because obviously I was not going to allow these things to be written on my locker because I asked for a new locker. They told me I couldn't get one and nothing was being done to fix the defacing. The students weren't even being reprimanded. They were proud. It was some of them were boasting that they did it and nothing was happening. So I took a can of spray paint and I painted my locker. And could you believe that one of the people who wrote on my locker complained to the dean that I had spray painted my locker and that was against school policy. And could you believe that I got in trouble for that? I got in trouble for taking action to defend myself. The entire front of my locker, I neatly painted it. I actually put scotch tape. It was neatly done. And I got in trouble because I didn't want the word fag, bullerman, and 10 penises and my mother's name written all over my locker. And that stuck with me, you know, because it told me that it's okay to be bullied. Being a victim is who you are and there's nothing you can do about it. I really want people to hear these stories because many of us have been bullied in school. Many of us have been through that fire. But one thing I will say is that I am much stronger for it. Because after that, going into the world and having to deal with people who still make comments, well, in Trinidad, because it was not like this in America. The bullying that I faced in America, it was not as severe as anything I faced here. Of course, dealing with people who would make island comments and ignorant comments about my country. But I never really had to deal with a lot of personal attacks. I do have to deal with it online, but not as much anymore since I've changed the direction of my content. But dealing with those things have made me much stronger. Because today, I still have people who would snigger and make comments about my voice. To this day, in Trinidad and Tobago, I'm a grown man. And I still have to deal with that. But it's gotten so much better for me because I dealt with so much trauma in my younger years that it has prepared me to deal with the world. So my message to many of you who dealt with this is face it. Don't hold on to the past. Many of us hold on to the past and it consumes us. and we feel stuck in that. So when I look at myself and I feel like that little boy, anytime I'm in an encounter with somebody who takes me back mentally to that period of my life, I look at myself, as in look inward, connect to my true self and say, you're here now though. That's the past. Let it go. You've learned from it. You're stronger. You're wiser. And now you can help other people. Move forward with life. Don't stay stuck in the past. And be grateful. I know it's as weird of a thing to say, but be grateful. Because you were put in a position by the universe to learn a lesson. A lesson that many other people have never learned. Because the thing about bullies is that those who are in positions of power and privilege, they don't get the same experience and the same wisdom and the same exposure to the world that those of us who were bullied have been through. So because of that, we see the world in all of these different colors and we've experienced it. So we know how to adapt. They don't. So when they become a person who is on the losing end, it's a shock to their system. But I will also say this, to those of you who bullied people, to those of you who picked on people, to those of you who looked down on others and found joy in ripping someone down and might still be in that mentality, understand that you are affecting someone's life. Understand that you are affecting someone's reality and that you never know what you would say to trip someone off. And look at your children. Those of you raising children, raise your children to act with love. Don't raise your children to be bullies. Don't raise your children to pick on other people. Don't raise your children to be proud of ripping someone down. And don't pass on your insecurities and your warped mentality to your children. I would never forget when there was a teacher in my class. She was a substitute teacher that we had nicknamed Predator. She came into class one day. There was a guy in our class who was a bit flamboyant. And she turned around and told us, you know, when I was in school, we used to beat up the faggots. We used to beat that out of them. Not these days. These boys and them like hen. And she is a grown woman telling a class full of boys, putting that seed into them, that in her time, they used to discipline the faggots. So everybody was gagging because people in the class were looking at each other like, what did she just say? Because you are literally telling us to go pick on someone. You're a teacher. You're telling us to pick on someone in an indirect way. Wow. Do not pass that on to your children, please, people. Don't pass it on. Let that end. Because we're in a world right now where it's just the cycle of violence and anger. And it stems so much from our younger years. There are people walking around with so much hurt and they just don't know how to deal with it. And that hurt is being inflicted by people like you and your children who you are teaching to pick on them. And here comes the rain. But before I go, because I know the rain is going to get on the mic, I'm going to give you all the quote of the week that really helped me through. This comes from Eckhart Tolle. And the quote goes, time is not precious at all because it's an illusion. What you perceive as precious is not time, but the one point that is out of time, the now. Now that is precious indeed. The more you are focused on the time, past and future, the more you miss the now, the most precious thing there is. So instead of focusing on what you've been through in the past and holding on to that and letting that govern who you are today, and instead of looking so far forward into the future that you have become blinded to everything else, understand that you are living in the now. Be grateful for this moment. Be grateful for getting here. And be grateful for the blessing of life. Don't focus and hold on to your past. Move on from it. So if you've been bullied, it's hard. You have to work through it. I'm still dealing with it, but I'm learning to let go. And for those of you who are walking around and dealing with the guilt of bullying someone, let go and give back. Teach the next generation how to move forward with love. That's your way of fixing karma. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Trini Trent Radio. I knew it was a bit deep, but I felt that those random ideas and stories, I just really wanted to share them with you all. As I said, it all came off the top of my head. With the exception of the quote, there was no reading involved. I'm very grateful for you listening. Of course, you can find all the other episodes of Trini Trent Radio on SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and of iTunes and TriniTrent.com. And of course, you can find me, that's Srini Trent, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Periscope, Tumblr, Snapchat. And of course, you could check out the Srini Trent TV YouTube show on YouTube. Thank you so much. And I'm eager to read all of your comments, all of your reviews, and of course, your emails when you send them to me at trinitrenttv@gmail.com. Don't forget to donate. Next time, folks. Later.